the 2015 teaching series in Australia. Fundamentals of Meditation. Speaker Kenpo Tsultrim Lodro. For more lectures, please visit our official website www.luminouswisdom.org.
各位大家下午好。 今天我们下午的这个交流的课题是禅修的具体的修法。
Good afternoon, everyone. The topic of this afternoon's teaching will be the fundamentals of meditation.
那么今天我们为什么要讲这个禅修呢？ 因为禅修，看起来，从表面上看，禅修就是一个宗教的一个功课，但是呢，实际上禅修不一定跟宗教有关系。The
reason we are talking about meditation this afternoon is that even though taken superficially, meditation may seem like a religious exercise. It needn't necessarily be connected with religion.
在佛教里面有很多种方法，那么这些方法都是用来调整自己的心态。Within
Buddhism, there are many methods and many practices, and these methods are used to adjust one's mental state.
然后佛教，它主要是讲这个我们主要是这个研究分析，我们的内在的精神的本质，精神的变化等等。And
what Buddhism primarily researches or analyzes is in fact the nature of the mind. Its essence, the nature of its changes, etc.
那么这个部分就叫做佛教的心理学。And
this component of Buddhism that is directed to understanding and analyzing the nature of the mind is what we refer to as Buddhist psychology.
佛教里面的一部分就是属于科学。
One component of the Buddhist tradition can be considered a science.
一部分呢，属于哲学。Another
component can be considered philosophy.
一部分就是类似于宗教，因为有很多很多的仪式，表面上看起来宗教的色彩比较浓厚的。And
a third component is religion. On the surface, at any rate, Buddhism contains a lot of rituals and other practices which have a particularly strong religious flavor.
那么就是属于科学的这一部分，它是一个实实在在的一个精神上的训练的方式。
But that component which is scientific in nature is really characterized by concrete practices that we use to train the mind.
如果我们对佛教有信仰，那么把这些方法都就成为一种佛教的修行的方法，通过这个方法把我们的内在的精神上的所有的烦恼从本质上就可以 端处。
It's possible for us using these methods to eliminate our mental suffering and afflictions.
另外一个，如果对佛教没有信心的话，那么我们把这个佛教里面的这些方法用来作为就是我们的心灵的一种训练的方法。
So these methods can be applied on the foundation of a faith in Buddhism. However, we can similarly apply these methods without a foundation of religious faith, in which case they are methods we can use for training our minds.
通过这种方法去调节我们内心当中的很多的矛盾啊，然后就是化解很多的矛盾，然后去调整啊我们的心态啊，这个是非常有帮助，非常有效果的。
These methods are extremely beneficial and effective for resolving our inner conflicts and inner contradictions.
所以这个部分的这个调整的方法呢，我们有信仰的啊，没有信仰的，比如说无神论者啊，唯物论者等等啊，还有就是有信仰的当中呢，比如说信基督的、耶稣的、信其他的宗教的啊，他们都可以用这个方法，这个方法是大家都可以用的。
And these methods for adjusting one's mental state can be put into practice by anyone, regardless of whether they're agnostic, atheist, or whether they have faith in another religious tradition.
如果这些方法能够帮助到能够帮助到别人能够给别人解决一些心灵上的问题的话，那么佛教是非常欢迎的。他非常的欢迎大家来用他的这些东西你可以不作为一个佛教徒，你也可以不接受佛教的其他的观念但是呢，这个方法如果你能够你想用的话可以用。为什么呢？因为这些方法都是为了大家，为了大家的这个利益，为了帮助别人而存在，所以呢任何人都可以用如果有人用，佛教会欢迎的。
And if any of these methods are able to bring others benefit, then from the Buddhist point of view, they are welcome to make use of them, regardless of whether they are Buddhist or not. So it's possible for people to apply Buddhist methods without necessarily taking on other elements of Buddhist view, for example. And the reason that the Buddhist tradition is in fact glad for all kinds of people to make use of its methods is that these methods exist primarily for the benefit of other beings.
这些方法就是我们不了解的时候，或者是我们没有去体会的时候呢，就看起来就是一个看不见摸不着一个这样子的东西。但是呢，如果我们自己去体验、去用、去实修这样子的话呢，那么这些方法以及这些方法的结果都是非常的真实的。
Until we actually engage in the practice of these methods, then the results they bring may seem rather intangible to us. However, once we do in fact start to embark on practice, meditation practice, then it becomes readily apparent to us the concrete nature of the benefits meditation can bring.
我们的这个社会，无论是东方还是西方，就看起来这些调整心态的方法是非常非常的需要似乎就是比过去的人还需要。
Whether it be in Asia or in Western countries, these methods are something that people in both places are very much in need of, perhaps even more in need now than they ever have been in the past.
古人他虽然是有我们所有人大家都有的这些烦恼，他们都有，但是呢，相比之下，他们的这个内心没有那么的浮躁所以是比较平静的。所以，如果他们没有这样子的训练的方法的话，也不是很大的问题了。
In terms of people of the past, even though, of course, they had experienced all kinds of mental sufferings themselves, in general, compared to the way we are today, their state was better off. And so if they didn't have these techniques available to them, they would at least be in a less serious situation than we are today.
现代的人就是每一个人的这个精神都是非常的浮躁啊，我们的整个的这个社会都是很浮躁，然后每一个人的内心的世界啊非常非常的浮躁，然后就是空虚啊，空虚浮躁，然后狂躁暴躁啊，这样子以后呢，然后最终啊是变成走向什么样的这个地步呢？如果这些问题及时没有得到解决的话，那么就导致我们的精神上的崩溃。
These days, it's a widespread predicament that people's minds are they're restless, they're unstable, they're capricious. A sense of emptiness is pervasive. And if these symptoms or if this condition is allowed to continue, then it can result in a situation where people experience mental breakdown.
全世界来说，自杀还有就是抑郁症啊，这些问题是一个非常严重的问题。
In the world today, depression and suicide are both serious problems.
那么为什么自杀啊，为什么抑郁症大多数绝大多数的不是因为我们没有这个缺乏物质啊，不是因为我们缺乏物质，而是因为缺乏我们的一些心灵上的这个支柱啊，心灵的支柱，精神的支柱哦，所以很多人的这个内心空虚啊，最后就是导致这个走这条路。
Suicide and depression, these conditions or are not due to a lack of fulfillment of material needs. Rather, they are the result of a fundamental lack of spiritual or inner contentment.
然后我们的内心就这么狂躁浮躁这样子的时候呢，我们比如说一位老师或者是一位医生护士等等很多很多这个各行各业的人，因为心转不心静不下来，所以他们没有办法专心的去学习，专心的去工作。
And many professionals, whether they be nurses or doctors, experience the inability to focus and concentrate on their work, given the flighty and capricious nature of their minds.
那么这个时候呢，我们就是需要一个调整我们的心的这个一个方法。如果没有这样子的调整我们精神的这个训练的方式的话，那么我们的很多事情都做不好，学习的成绩也不好，工作的效率也不高，所以我们这个不能忽略这个内心的问题。
So it's at this point in time that we're very much in need of methods to combat this situation. We need methods that can assist us to be able to focus, enable us to focus in work contexts and study contexts.
那这个时候我们需要什么样的方法呢？就是需要禅修的方法。禅修一定会给我们解决这个心灵上的很多的问题。
And the methods or the means of addressing this situation that we need is meditation. In fact, meditation techniques are able to provide us with many answers to these problems.
然后这个禅修它有几种这个它的结果一个就是 给我们减少啊生活和工作当中产生的这些烦恼。
In terms of meditation techniques, different techniques produce different results. One type of meditational technique, for example, alleviates the stresses and pressures that are generated in the course of our everyday lives.
另外一个呢，在禅定的过程当中，我们会感受到一种非常这个快乐的感受，这个叫做禅悦，就是禅定的这个过程当中所感受到的一种喜悦这叫做禅悦。
It's also possible to experience in the meditative state a sense of bliss, which is what we describe as meditative bliss.
那么这个禅悦呢就是我这个禅悦，通过这个禅悦可以消除疲劳，还有可以消除很多我们的精神上的这个不开心，比如说焦虑担忧等等，很多问题就是通过这个可以解决的。
And this state of meditative bliss is able to resolve many of the negative mental states we find ourselves in, fatigue, anxiety, worry, etc.
我们每一个人我们每一个人在这个生活当中遇到精神上的各种各样的疾病，这个可能性是相当相当大的。
The likelihood that we may encounter various kinds of mental disorders is in fact very high.
就像美国的小孩在他们的祖先的时候跟现在比较的话，现在的小孩得抑郁症的这个几率比他们的祖先的时候还高三倍。
In America, for example, the likelihood that young children today will suffer from depression is three times the likelihood of their family members of previous generations.
那么在这个时候呢，我们学会一个比较实用的一个方法，这个就是佛教给我们提供的禅修。
And so it's in respect of this situation that we can employ the Buddhist technique of meditation.
那么这个方法呢，我们今天准备介绍一个昨天我们介绍了这个禅修的一种方法，另外一个呢，我们今天再介绍就是除了昨天的这个以外另外一个稍微有点不同的这个禅修的方法。
During yesterday's teaching, I introduced a method of shamatha meditation, and today I'm going to introduce yet another meditation technique.
这个禅修的方法就是修慈悲心。
And today's meditation will be compassion meditation.
那么悲心慈悲心，我们首先去了解一下什么叫做悲心我们大家都会讲一个，比如说像基督教或者是我们的这个社会上，大家也就讲一个爱。这个爱跟慈悲心佛教这样的慈悲心有什么区别？
First of all, we need to understand what we mean by compassion in the Buddhist context. We often hear the word love being used, particularly in terms of Christianity. In any case, we need to understand the discrepancy between these two concepts.
那么慈悲心呢？这个爱可以说是一个慈悲心的一部分，但是呢，慈悲心佛教讲的这个慈和悲的这个深度和广度，比我们的一般的爱心稍微还要范围还广一点。
So even though love is part of compassion, it forms part of the concept we intend with the word compassion, but in terms of its scope and its depth, compassion is greater than this.
这慈悲心啊，首先我们看什么叫做慈啊，然后就是什么叫做悲啊。那么悲性是什么呢？佛教讲的悲性是我们发自内心的希望天下啊所有的生命都远离啊所有的痛苦，这样子的心叫做悲心。
So breaking the word compassion down into its different components, we can understand the kindness aspect of compassion to refer to the deep wish that all living beings be free from suffering.
然后慈啊，慈性是什么呢？我们啊，诚心实意的希望天下所有的生命啊，不仅仅是人类。啊，天下所有的生命，天下所有的生命就不仅仅是我们的这个地球上的生命，也不仅仅是这个我们的这个太阳系、宇宙系啊的这个范围当中的生命啊，它的这个天下的意思就是说啊，这个是这个整个的啊太空。整个的宇宙当中的所有的生命就叫做天下的生命啊。佛教经常就讲天下的生命，它不会讲人类或者是这个地球，不会太阳系，它是讲天下所有的生命。然后天下所有的生命，我们希望啊，而且是诚心实意的希望他们拥有各种各样的啊，大大小小的心腹啊，这样子的心就叫做慈心。
And the loving aspect of compassion refers to the deep desire that all living beings, and when we talk about all living beings, we mean animals in addition to humans, we mean all living beings in the entire universe with no limitations whatsoever.The deep desire that these beings attain every kind of happiness, from small happinesses to great happiness.
我们今天为什么我们的这个心这么浮躁啊？为什么空虚啊？这个它有一些原因啊。佛教就讲两个字，这个叫做缘起。缘起的意思就是说。万事万物啊，都有一个自己的因素啊，这个因素会决定它的这个发展啊，发展的趋势啊，这两个前后的关系叫做缘起。
Why is it today that people's minds are so restless and empty?The answer to this would be two words, dependent origination. And this refers to the idea or the notion that every single phenomena has its own causes and conditions which influence the results that emerge.
如果我们要解决我们的心理的这些问题，比如说烦躁焦虑还有就是空虚等等这些问题要解决这些问题的话，首先我们要知道这些是来自于什么。
So if we want to go about addressing our restless and disturbed and empty minds, the first thing we need to ascertain is what is the cause of this to begin with.
从佛教的角度去分析分析的话，我们现代人为什么就是拥有这么庞大的物质财富但是呢，为什么精神上就是越来越感觉不到满足？为什么就越来越感觉不到幸福呢？从佛教的角度去分析，就是有三个原因。
If we analyze the current situation where we are unable to obtain satisfaction and happiness despite our extremely affluent material conditions, if we analyze this situation from the point of view of the Buddhist tradition, there are three reasons for our current predicament.
这三个当中的第一个就是我们的欲望。
The first of these reasons is related to our desires.
欲望啊，为什么给我们导致啊这个烦恼呢？我们很多人会说，欲望是发展的动力啊，意思就是说我们需要欲望，没有欲望我们没有办法发展啊。其实啊，这句话。也就是有道理的，也不能说完全是错的。但是呢，我们不能这句话我们不能理解错。比如说错误的理解是什么？我们认为欲望永远都是需要的，什么样的欲望，任何一个欲望都是发展的动力啊。这样子的话，那我们的这个理解是错误的。
Many people might wonder how it is that desire can be the source of our sufferings. After all, many people regard desire as the driving force of progress. And while there may be some truth in this statement, if we understand all desire to be the driving force of our progress, then essentially we will have an inaccurate understanding.
我们的欲望，它为什么让我们感觉不到幸福呢？因为欲望我们拥有的越多我们的这个要求会越高的中国有一句话叫做道高一尺，魔高一丈就是说我们修道有一尺高，那就是魔障就是有一丈高，十尺高同样的，我们拥有的越多，然后我们欲望就是会越高。所以我们拥有的东西，我们所拥有的东西永远都跟不上我们的欲望。
The reason that desire obstructs our sense of happiness is because the way that desire operates is thatit continues to increase along with the amount of things that we gain. So if what we gain reaches a certain level, then our desire will continue to increase. It will always run ahead of our current situation.
然后我们所拥有的东西跟我们想拥有的东西之间有一定的差距的时候呢这个距离稍微有点远的时候呢，那么这个当中就会产生一个负面的情绪，这个情绪就叫做不满对现实生活的不满，对自己的人生的不满等等各种各样的不满。
And it's when there's a significant distance between what we have and what we want.That we start to see the feeling of dissatisfaction arise.
然后有了不满对生活和对自己的人生有不满有了不满这个负面的情绪的时候呢，它会导致各种各样的更多的负面的情绪。
And.Once we have dissatisfaction will then lead to the generation of further negative mental states.
所以简单生活和低碳生活，还有就是佛教这样的少欲知足，这样子的生活的方式，它一定会在某种程度上一定会给我们带来一些幸福感。
So it's for this reason that simple lifestyles and are able to bring us a certain level of happiness.
我们的今天的这个生活节奏为什么这么快然后每个人的工作压力生活压力为什么这么大呢？主要它的原动力原动力就是我们自己的欲望。
The main reason for the fast pace of our lives today and the great pressures that we face is essentially our desires.
当我们的欲望如果得不到控制，无限的这个膨胀这样子的时候呢，那么我们对生活是不会有满足的时候。
When we are unable to keep our desires in check and instead they grow in an untrammeled way, then it is not possible for us to experience happiness.
这是第一个原因。第二个原因呢，佛教从佛教的角度来讲我们每一个人都是非常的自私我们所有人本来就是生下来的时候非常的自私，然后我们除了我们这种先天的这个自私以外，后天我们就是在这个学校里面学到的东西，我们的很多很多的教育的这个体系当中，几乎给我们灌输的给我们教的东西都是跟我们的自私有相当大的关系的这样子的东西。
And another reason for our lack of happiness is our selfishness. Everyone is essentially intrinsically very selfishness. And in addition to this intrinsic selfishness that we have, we also find our selfishness compounded or strengthened by the education that we receive in schools and in society.
然后第三个呢，就是用佛教的话来讲，这个叫做无明就是我们不了解这个世界的真相我们看到的这个世界的我们看到的世界其实就是世界的表面的现象人生世界它的真相我们从来都没有看到过，我们从来都不知道，所以在这个过程当中产生了太多太多的对这个世界的错误的理解，对我们的人生的错误的理解，然后这些错误的理解给我们带来了太多太多的这个烦恼。
And the third reason for our disturbed state of mind is, to use a Buddhist turn of phrase, our ignorance. This is essentially our mistaken understanding of the external world. And it's due to our distorted and mistaken understandings that we experience a great deal of mental affliction.
这三个这个当中呢，我们今天要讲的是解决就是针对第二个，就是针对自私就是这个方法。
And in respect of these three reasons behind our disturbed state of mind, today's teaching will address the second of them, our selfishness.
我们的很多的心灵上的这个我们心灵上的很多的这个焦虑还有很多的这些负面的情绪毁灭性的情绪这些都大部分都是来自于我们的自私。
Much of the anxiety we experience and our negative mental states, our destructive thoughts, etc., find their origin in our selfishness.
我们一直都是关心什么呢？就是关心我们自己的感受一直都我们每一个人都是关心自己的感受，关注自己的感受。我们大多数的人不怎么去关心不怎么去在乎关心或者是在乎其他人或者其他生命的感受。
The vast majority of people really pay attention only to their own feelings. They pay very little attention to the feelings of others and to not just the feelings of other people, but also the feelings of other, other beings.
就是因为我们不怎么不怎么关不怎么在乎别人的感受所以我们每个人都变得非常非常的自私。
So it's because we don't really pay much attention to the feelings of others that everybody is very selfish.
自私就是会拉长人与人之间的距离。
Selfishness is something that exacerbates the distance between people.
因为我们每一个人都每一个人都考虑自己的感受不去在乎别人的感受的时候呢然后我们人与人之间的这种相互的关爱相互的关心基本上大家都感觉不到。
When we are preoccupied with our own feelings and not concerned for the feelings of others, then we are not able to have a strong feeling or experience of mutual care and concern between ourselves and others.
这个时候呢，我们就大家都就社会上的每一个人都感觉到自己就是一个人就是很孤独就是没有一个人是真心来帮助我的，没有一个人是真心来关心我的大家都觉得我是一个人没有人来关心我，没有人在乎我，我就是一个人这个情况下就是会产生寂寞、孤独所谓的孤独症。也是就是来自于这样子的这个心态。
And it's a result of this that many people feel extremely lonely. They feel that nobody is sincerely interested in helping them, no one sincerely cares for them, and given this situation, they develop extreme feelings of being alone.
这个时候我们需要的是什么呢？就是需要的就是慈悲心。
And what we really need in respect of this situation is compassion.
那么慈悲心呢？我们有一种训练的方法，通过这个训练的方法，我们可以每一个人都拥有慈悲心。
If we put into practice a method of training in compassion, then it is possible for everybody to be able to cultivate it.
那么这个慈悲心的训练的方法，我们今天要给大家简单的介绍一下。然后呢，大家明白了这个训练的方式以后呢，希望就我们去使用。
So I'd like to briefly introduce this practice in compassion training today. And after I've introduced it, I hope that you will all go on to regularly practice this technique.
首先这个慈悲心的第一个就是我们要了解其他生命的痛苦。第一步，第一个步骤我们修这个慈悲心就有几个步骤。第一个步骤，我们要了解其他生命的痛苦。
There are several steps in this training in compassion, and the first step is gaining an understanding of the nature of others' suffering.
第一个步骤我们平时大家都是关注自己的感受，我们不太去关注别人的这个感受，所以我们不了解其他人的痛苦。比如说，我们可以举一个例子，比如说，当我们是健康的人的时候，我们不了解这个病人的痛苦。
Because we are usually so preoccupied with ourselves and not paying attention to the situation of others, we don't have a very good understanding of their suffering. An example would be when we are in a state of good health, not having an understanding of the suffering of people who are seriously ill.
我们很多人，很多有钱的人，不太了解贫困的痛苦。
Many very rich people, for example, also lack an understanding of the suffering of people who are impoverished.
有权力的人呢，就是不太了解弱势群体的痛苦。
And people who are powerful and privileged lack an understanding of those who are weak and marginalized.
因为我们不了解别人的这个痛苦，所以我们对别人就不一般不生起慈悲心。
And it's due to the fact that we don't understand others' suffering that in general we don't generate compassion towards them.
所以我们这个时候呢需要了解需要了解除了自己以外的人的痛苦，这个是修慈悲心的第一个步骤。
So it's for this reason that the first step of training in compassion requires us to gain an understanding of the suffering of others.
好，第一个我们要了解其他众生的这个痛苦的话，首先我们有两种方法。
In order to develop this understanding for others' suffering, there are two approaches we can take.
第一个方法呢，我们去打坐，然后去思考思维其他生命的痛苦。
The first of these is in the context of meditation, contemplating, reflecting on the nature of others' suffering.
另外一个就是我们在现实生活当中去感受，或者是我们亲眼去看别人的痛苦。
And the second approach is to observe with our own eyes directly others' suffering in the context of everyday life.
比如说我们就是看到，比如说看到宰杀的动物，被宰杀的动物，那么我们很多人看到被宰杀的动物或者是动物宰杀的时候呢，很多人就是因为害怕不敢看。
Often, for example, with animals that are on the cusp of being slaughtered, this is something that many people don't like to watch. They prefer to avoid this kind of scene.
那么这个时候，比如说我们在菜市场菜市场买菜的地方，不知道有没有这个活的鸡鸭。鱼之类的有些地方是有的如果有的话，那我们就去看去故意的去看，去了解这些动物是怎样宰杀的在宰杀的过程当中，他们感受到了什么样的痛苦这个是必须要去了解的。
If we find ourselves in a situation where there areanimals being sold for slaughter or being slaughtered in a market, such as fish or chickens, for example, then we should observe this situation and attempt to gain an understanding of the nature of the suffering of the animal facing imminent slaughter.
然后我们了解了以后呢，第一个步骤先去了解这些动物的痛苦，或者是我们去到医院去看这个生病的人的病人的痛苦。
So what we do in this first step is observe the suffering of animals in this situation, or alternatively, we might go to a hospital and observe the suffering of people, the patients who are staying in the hospital.
然后我们也 故意的去看，比如说难民营啊等等这些贫穷的人啊住的地方，去了解他们的这个贫困的痛苦。
Or we might intentionally go to places where refugees and other impoverished people live in order to understand the nature of their suffering.
啊，然后呢，这个了解好了以后啊，了解好了以后呢，我们第二个步骤啊，第二个步骤是什么呢？我们打坐的时候呢，啊，静下来，先去想啊，这些比如说宰杀的动物，它是怎么样啊被宰杀的啊？这个过程当中啊，它感受到了什么样的痛苦？然后呢，医院里面呢有这么多的病人啊，有各种各样的这个疾病折磨啊，被折磨。那么他们啊感受什么样的这个？他们正在啊接受什么样的痛苦？然后就是在这个难民营啊。等等这些贫穷的人住的地方去看，了解好了以后，然后我们静下去回忆啊，去思考当时我们看到的这些景象啊，就是我们过去看到的啊，我们亲眼看到的这些事情，我们现在就是静下来去思考。
So after we have gained this direct and first-hand understanding,Then we move on to the second step, which is bringing this understanding into our meditation. So sitting down to meditation, we recollect these things we have seen. We recollect the suffering of the animals in the market, the patients in the hospital, and the impoverished refugees. And we reflect on the nature of their suffering and contemplate the nature of their suffering.
因为平时呢，我们不去刻意的去想这些事情啊，比如说我们看到，比如说车祸啊，或者是病人，我们看到了，看到就完了，就平时都不去想这个事情，所以就是不会有什么太多的这个特殊的感受啊。但是我们现在呢，故意去看，看完了以后呢，刻意的去想。去思考这个问题啊，这样子的时候呢，我们一定会有一个非常明显的感受，非常特殊的感受。
Because in our ordinary lives, we really don't pay too much attention to these kinds of suffering. So, the result is that the suffering that we do observe doesn't produce a particularly strong result in us.However, by engaging in this meditation, by developing an understanding of others' suffering, and by reflecting on it time and time again, it is certain that we will produce a very tangible result.
好，打坐的时候呢，我们还要简单的要介绍一下这个因为昨天我们讲过了，但是呢，我们今天的人呢不一定是昨天的人啊，所以就是大坐的这个身体的姿势呀，这些我们简单的要介绍一下。
In the context of meditation, it's necessary for us to do some preparations prior to our meditation session. We went over these yesterday, but since the audience today may not be the same as it was yesterday, so we'll briefly go over them again.
好，简单的说啊，第一个这个。盘腿，这是第一个。
So the first of the seven point postures we need to observe is sitting cross-legged.
如果腿不方便啊，比如说有些人就生病啊等等的原因，腿不方便腿盘起来的话就没关系的啊。平时通常我们要盘腿。
If it's not comfortable for you to sit like this, then sitting normally is okay too. However, if possible, we should sit cross-legged.
好，第二个大家看到这里啊，手这样子，左手放下面，右手放上面，然后两个大拇指碰头啊，这样子，这个叫做禅定的手印。禅定的时候就是要做这种手势，然后这个手势就放在。肚脐下面的四个手指叫做丹田啊，就放在这个丹田这个地方。
And our hands, we bring them into the meditation mudra, which means cupping our right hand within our left hand, bringing our thumbs together, and holding our hands at the spot about 4 fingers in width below our navel.
第三个，我们啊，两个胳膊这样子张开，啊，不能这样子啊，张开。
The third point of posture we observe is sitting with our shoulders slightly forward and our elbows slightly open.
第四个，身体要端正啊，不能像右歪，像左歪等等，不能端啊，不能像左右歪，要端正。但是这个端正呢，也要自然放松的端正，不要刻意很用力的端正。
The fourth point is sitting in a straight and upright way. So we should do this in a natural and relaxed way. We shouldn't sit in a forced or uncomfortable way.
然后头啊，头这样子往前啊，头往前稍微低一点点啊，头往前埋。
And our heads are tilted slightly down. Our chin is tilted slightly forwards.
啊，第六，眼睛就是半闭的状态啊，也不要闭着眼睛，只是半闭的状态，半闭的状态往下看。
Our eyes are half closed and gazing past the tips of our nose, looking slightly down.
然后呼吸啊，就是正常的呼吸，以口腔。鼻孔啊，自然放松的呼吸。
And our breath should just be natural. There's no need to regulate it in any way.
好，然后这个是身体的姿势啊。我们初学者，也就是刚刚开始训练打坐的人，是必须要做这个姿势啊。为什么必须要做呢？因为这个姿势要这么做有一定的原理，有一定的理由。这个姿势帮助我们啊，心平静下来。
For beginners to meditation, it's important that we observe these 7 points of meditation posture. The reason is that they are effective in helping us to bring our minds into a state of calmness.
啊，这个是啊，禅定的时候的这个打坐的方法。然后我们的禅定的这个功夫啊，达到一定的时候呢，然后就不一定用这样子的方式啊，用各种各样的方式禅定修禅都可以的，都没问题，都不会影响，不会受到影响。
So these are the preparatory stages to engaging in meditation.
然后啊，这个完了以后呢，我们要排除污气啊。这个我们昨天讲过了，今天再简单的介绍一下，排除污气就是说我们的啊这个。垃圾情绪，也就是说我们的内心当中的这个一整天的啊，或者是很长时间以来所累积的啊，这些各种各样的压力、焦虑、欲望、抱怨、仇恨啊，这样子的这些情绪啊，都要排出去。
The second preparatory exercise we do is to expel our stale breath. What we are doing here is expelling the various negative mental states and negative emotions we have accumulated over a period of time. And these include things like our resentment, anger, frustration, desire, etc.
方法是什么呢？方法就是有一种收拾啊，也有个简单的收拾。请大家看这里啊，我们把拇指头摁住这个倒数第二个手指，叫做无名指，无名指的指根。然后呢，其他的四个手指放在这个大拇指上面啊，大拇指要摁住这个倒数第二个手指的指根啊， 大拇指要摁住，摁住好，然后就是要做这样子的这个手拳头，这叫做金刚拳头，然后这个拳头就摁住左右腿的腿根，有动脉和经脉啊，就是放在这个血脉上，血脉上面摁住。
And we make a Vajra fist with our left hand, which involves pressing our thumb to the base of our fourth finger, closing our fingers over into a fist, and then pressing this fist into the channel point at the top of the fold of our left thigh.
好，然后右手，大家看这里啊，右手同样的啊，大拇指摁住这个。啊，倒数第二个手指的指根啊，摁住这个指根，然后呢，四指要伸出来，四指伸出来，其他的三个手指放在大拇指上面，然后手心啊朝上，先放在膝盖上，啊，先放在膝盖上。好，然后呢，啊，这个完了以后，我们把这个右手啊，右手先这样子上来，这个拇指啊，食指。摁住这个右边的鼻孔，然后我们从左边的鼻孔拍起，拍起之前，先深深的吸一口气啊，吸一口气，这样子吸一口气，然后再摁住啊，吸一口气，然后拍，这样子轻轻的啊，拍一个拍一次，然后两次。三次。
And we make a Vajra fist with our right hand too, but this time we extend our index finger. We begin by resting our right hand on our right knee, then we bring our index finger to our right nostril. Prior to pressing it closed, we inhale deeply once. Closing our nostril, we then exhale this breath.Slowly from our left nostril, and we repeat this three times.
第一次啊，拍起以后，然后松开啊，松了以后呢，吸一口气，然后就拍出第二次。第二次拍完了以后，松开啊，松了，然后再吸气，然后再拍气。
After we exhale the breath each time, we release the finger from our nostril.Inhale once again and then repeat the exercise.
这个时候有一个啊冥想，有一个冥想，有一种观想。在这个整个的过程当中，起到最大的作用的还是这个冥想啊。如果没有这个冥想，就效果不会很好。那么冥想是什么呢？我们把我们的这个所有的垃圾情绪啊，所有的烦恼都变成了一个黑色的气体啊。这个黑色的气体呢，又脏又黑啊，一个这样子的黑色的气体。然后就是从这个左边的鼻孔当中啊排出去啊，排到体外。
And this breathing exercise has an accompanying visualization, and it's in fact the visualization that really achieves the decisive, is extremely effective, or makes this exercise very effective. What we do is visualize our negative mental states to take the form of a black vapor, a dirty, filthy black vapor, and it's this vapor that we are expelling.From our nostril when we do the breathing exercise.
然后这个左边啊拍完了以后呢，然后就左右手换一下啊，左右手换这边啊，就是我们刚才的这个啊，左右手是这样子的金刚拳头摁住右腿的腿根的穴脉，然后呢，左手啊就是这样子啊，我们刚才是一样，然后从右边的鼻孔排出一次、两次、三次啊，这个观想啊，或者是这个方法啊，都是完全是一样的。
After we have done this exercise three times on the left side, then we repeat it again on the right side. So we reverse the order of everything that we did.
然后最后啊，两个手这样子啊，左右两个手的大拇指摁住这个无名指指根啊，然后就是做这个金刚拳头啊，同时摁住啊这个左右腿腿根的动脉和静脉上，然后呢我们啊深深的吸一口气，从左右两个鼻孔同时排出无气。
After we have done this exercise three times on the left, three times of the on the right, then we bring both of our hands into Vajra fists and press them into the channel point in the fold of both our left and right thighs, and we exhale breath from both of our nostrils.
好，这个完了以后呢，然后我们就开始去思考。啊，这个我们每次打坐的时候呢，必须要有这个第一个就是身体的姿势啊，第二个呢就是排除无气，这两个是必须要的啊。然后排除无气之后呢，无气是什么呢？污染的空气啊，污染的空气，意思就是说，它不是我们外在的环境污染的空气啊，就是我们的垃圾情绪啊，我们的负面的这些各种各样的情绪，就是变成了一个黑色的气体啊。它表面上看起来就是一个气体，但是呢，实际上呢，它是我们的这种各种各样的这些情绪，负面的情绪，所以叫做无气。
So before we begin the core practice of our meditation, it's important that we do these two preparation stages. In particular, the expelling of stale or contaminated breath is very important. When we say it's contaminated or polluted, it's clearly not the result of the external environment. And although we visualize it to take the form of a black vapor, what it is, in fact, is our negative thoughts and destructive thoughts.
好，然后呢啊，我们再观想这个排出排无气排完了以后，我们再观想我们的身体啊，变成了一个非常纯洁、非常透明啊，就像一个玻璃水晶的玻璃杯啊，洗得干干净净一样啊，就身体就变成一个这样子的很透明、很干净的身体。
And after we have expelled our contaminated breath, then we visualize our bodies to take the form of pristine, immaculate, transparent crystal bottles.
好，这个就是我们的修心的准备的工作啊，这个讲完了。好，那么我们刚才啊，前面已经讲了打坐的时候的身体的姿势，还有就是这个呼吸啊，排除污气啊，这些方面我们都已经给大家介绍过了。接下来啊，我们就讲这个它的具体的这个思维的方式啊，思维的方式。慈悲心对我们啊一个人来说，慈悲心啊。真的是非常非常重要。慈悲心不但是在这个佛教里面是一个非常重要的这个修法，非常价值地位非常非常的高啊。慈悲心在佛教里面的地位相当的相当的高。不仅是这一点啊，我们在现实生活当中，慈悲心的价值也是非常非常高，也是非常有用的啊。所以希望大家。能够啊修慈悲心。
So now that we have completed the preparatory stages of our meditation, we're going to move on to the core contemplation of our compassion practice. Compassion is something that isn't just extremely valuable in the context of Buddhist practice. It's something that's extremely valuable in our everyday life. So it's something that I hope everybody diligently.Cultivates.
佛教里面有一句啊非常著名的话，就是说啊，佛陀说大乘佛教啊，大乘佛教里面讲， 如果想成佛啊，想解脱啊，这样子的话，那么我们不需要修太多太多的法啊，只修一个法啊。那么一个法是什么呢？就是大悲心。
The Buddha once said that in order to attain liberation, in order to attain Buddhahood, it's not necessary for us to engage in a variety, a great variety of different practices. One practice in itself is sufficient, and that practice is the cultivation of compassion.
这个大悲心在我们的生活当中，比如说慈悲心啊，第一个就是我们了解对方，了解对方的这个痛苦啊，理解和了解啊，这个对一个家庭啊，对一个社会来说也是非常重要，也是非常有价值的。
In the context of our ordinary lives, being able to understand and sympathize with the suffering of others is something that brings great benefit to us, whether it be in our families or at the more general level of society.
因为我们很多的社会的冲突、家庭暴力等等啊，这些矛盾、这些冲突，都是因为我们不了解对方啊，不理解对方啊，导致的。
The reason being that many of the conflicts and the violence that we see in society and in the family arises from a lack of understanding and sympathy of others.
那么我们理解啊，或者了解啊，了解或者理解，也就是我们理解别人，就是要从了解别人的难处啊，从了解别人的困难啊开始。
Developing an understanding of others begins with gaining insight into their suffering.
如果我们能够了解其他众生的痛苦，这样子的话，我们一定会有同情心。
If we're able to gain insight into the nature of others' suffering, then it will be a straightforward matter for us to develop sympathy towards them.
不了解别人的痛苦啊，这样子的话，那我们就只关心自己的感受啊，不去关心别人的感受。这样子的时候呢，我们就不会有同情心，更不会有大悲心。
However, if we are only thinking about ourselves and not concerned with others, then it won't be possible for us to develop sympathy and even more difficult for us to develop great compassion.
好，所以第一个我们去了解的时候，我们刚才已经讲过了，我们首先去看故意的去看这个宰杀的动物，或者是病房的病人啊，还有就是这个贫穷的人啊等等，反正我们认为是最痛苦的、最难受的这些啊，都要去看，都要去听，都要去了解。
So in order to gain this insight into others' suffering, we begin by doing what we described today, by observing the suffering of animals, of ill patients, of destitute people, by observing their suffering, listening to their suffering, and gaining an understanding of it.
我们每一天在电视、报纸上看到的这些很多很多的这些新闻，比如说灾难就是战争不公平的待遇等等，这些都可以作为我们的修心的资料。
In fact, the events we routinely see in the news, in newspapers, accounts of war, of disasters, of all kinds of injustices, all of these are capable of serving as the foundation for our contemplation practice.
如果我们不了解这些其他的这些众生，也就是这些弱势群体，他们的这个痛苦，或者是 比我们啊第一个等级级别的生命，比如说像动物啊，就是他们的痛苦我们不了解，这样子的话，那我们打坐的时候不知道怎么样去修这个慈悲心，就是因为我们没有修慈悲心的资料。
If we don't pay attention and develop an understanding of the suffering of those who are marginalized or who are a rung lower than us, whether it be animals or those less well off than ourselves, then essentially we will lack the, we won't have the material we need to work with when we sit down and try to generate compassion.
然后这些都我们看好了听好了以后呢，然后我们打坐的时候啊，每一天我们可以用，比如说每天是一个小时啊，或者是40分钟啊，甚至是半个小时这样子的时间啊，我们安排一个这样子的时间，那在这个时间当中去思考这个问题。
So we need to allocate a period of time each day, half an hour, 40 minutes, or up to an hour, where we sit in meditation and contemplate on the suffering of others.
然后观想的时候呢，我们首先去回忆过去我们看到的某一个这个情节比如说一个动物。被宰杀的过程或者是在某一个地方的自然灾害当中所发生的这个灾难或者是这个痛苦或者是在某一个病房里我们自己看到的一个病人被各种各样的这个疾病折腾的一个这样子的景象先去思考。先去回忆先去回忆。
And we start off our contemplative meditation by recollecting an incident of great suffering, whether it be the suffering of an animal facing slaughter, a sick person in hospital, or a destitute person, a person in suffering a natural disaster.
很多时候我们可以在我们的餐桌上也可以修这个，因为我们的餐桌上有很多的这个海鲜、河鲜这样子的这个动物那么这些动物呢，它们死的时候，这种它们这个宰杀的方式，它们死亡的这个方式是非常非常残忍的非常残忍的。我们这个慈悲心，其实我们也可以，我们不需要去。看太多东西，就只要在餐桌上，我们稍微就注意一点的话，这个资料都有的。
And in fact, we can practice this at our dinner table. We often find seafood and other beings on the dinner table, and these creatures have died in extremely painful and cruel ways. So it's possible that we use the animals or the flesh that is sitting on our dinner table as material for compassion contemplation.
然后我们非常清楚地去思考了思考他们的这个痛苦，他们所面临的痛苦以后然后我们就进入第二个步骤第二个步骤是什么呢？第二个步骤我们就是要换位的思考所谓的换位的思考，就是说比如说我们看见某一个动物被宰杀的过程那很多人就是除了恐惧以外除了恐惧，除了不敢看以外，很多人都没有什么太大的感受的。
After we've really reflected properly on the nature of this suffering, then we move on to the second stage. And this involves trading places. Usually, when we are observing the suffering of another, aside from fear, a sense of terror, we might not have any further feelings.
如果我们就像看电影一样看戏一样我们就是站在这里然后去看某一个 人啊，或者是某一个这个动物啊被宰杀，或者是这个面临痛苦的啊这个过程啊，这样子的话呢，除了我们心里有这个恐惧以外，就不会有太多的这个感受。
If we are observing other animals undergoing suffering from the perspective of an observer, a bystander, like we're watching a movie or a play, then it's not likely we will really arouse any feeling other than one of fear or terror.
那这个时候我们怎么办呢？就是有一个方法啊，有一个方法。这个时候呢，我们要想把，比如说这个动物被宰杀的动物啊。如果他是我啊，我今天啊没有去伤害过任何人啊，我没有做过任何对不起别人的事情啊，但是因为我是弱势群体啊，其他人都是有实力的啊，就是因为他有实力，所以他把我抓去啊，我什么坏事都没有干，我从来都没有得罪过他，但是呢，就是因为有实力啊，我是因为没有实力，没有其他没有任何的理由，然后呢，别人把我抓去啊，抓去了以后呢，就像啊，宰鸡、宰鸭、宰杀鱼啊，就是通过这种方法去把我宰杀啊，这样子的话会是什么样的啊？或者是简单的说，这个动物啊，这个动物如果是我的话，那这个感受会是什么样的？要这样去思考。
So what we do here is imagine that it was ourselves, it was me, in the place of the animal currently experience suffering. If it were me, what would I be feeling right now? If it were me, what would it be like to be in a situation where I have such suffering imposed on myself when I've never done anything to harm anyone else?And the only reason that I'm in this situation is because someone else is stronger than me. Someone else has more power than me. And that is why I am in this situation of great suffering.
好，这是第一个。第二个呢，我们也可以啊，也可以想，如果这个被宰杀的动物是我的父母啊，是我的老爸老妈的话，那会是什么样子？如果他们没有得罪过任何人啊，他们没有做过任何对不起别人的事情，但是呢，因为别人有实力啊，他们没有实力啊，所以就是没有其他的任何的原因，就是因为这个啊，然后呢把他们抓去，有人去把他们宰杀，就像宰杀这个动物的方式去宰杀啊，那这样子的话会是什么样子啊，要这样去思考。
We then move on to imagining what would we feel like if the animal who is currently undergoing suffering were our parents who have never done anything wrong to anyone, who have never harmed other beings, and yet, given that they are weak, given that they are powerless, have been put in a situation of great suffering.So we now contemplate on our parents as the beings who are having suffering inflicted on them.
第三个方法呢，我们可以想啊，如果这个被宰杀的动物是我的儿子，是我的女儿啊，这样子的话又会是一个什么样的感受啊？我的儿女没有做过任何对不起别人的事情，没有得罪过别人啊。但是呢，就是因为啊，别人啊的这个有实力啊，他们是弱势群体，就凭这一点啊，然后把他们抓去啊，就被宰杀啊。就是现在啊，如果他们要去对抗啊，没有这个能力啊，要逃跑没有办法逃跑啊。那么现在马上就要面临啊被宰杀的这个痛苦啊。那这样子的话，那他们是我的儿女的话，那会是什么样子啊？那样子去感受。
We then move on to contemplating the imagining that it was our sons or our daughters who were undergoing the suffering. They're not able to defend themselves. They're not able to escape. However, due to being weak and defenseless, they are now in this situation of being exposed to great suffering. So we imagine that it is our sons or daughters.
这个时候我们一定会有一个非常不一样的感受啊，比如说我们发现这个路上啊出现了交通事故啊，有人受伤了，有人死了啊，那这样子的话我们看到了这个啊，我们路过的时候看到了，我们心里没有太大的啊感受，就是觉得哦出现交通事故了，人死了啊，就除了这个意外不会有太大的这个感受。但是如果这个被受伤的这个人啊，或者是死亡的这个人是我们的父母或者我们儿女的话，那就是完全是不一样的啊感受啊。这些原因是因为他们啊不是我的父母啊，和因为他们这些人呢是因为不是我的父母，所以我没有什么太特别的这个感受啊。所以我们要把他们当作我们的父母儿女去思考的话，那这个效果是完全是不一样的。
And the reason that we substitute our parents or our children for the animal or the being undergoing suffering is that we have a more immediate attachment or connection to them, and therefore the feeling that we arouse by observing their suffering is stronger. It's like when we see a car accident, for example. If we don't know the victims, then we just say, oh, there's been a car accident, a person's died. However, our feelings would be entirely different if, in fact, it were our parents or our children who were in the car accident.
好，然后第三个啊，接下来就是第三个阶段，第三个这个思维的阶段步骤。
And now we move on to the third step of the training in compassion.
然后第三个这个步骤呢这个时候我们会有一个非常强烈的，会一定会有一个，如果我们的思维比较深入、比较专心的去思考的话。我们不管是什么样的人，每一个人都有一个很这个不一样的特殊的感受啊。那这个时候呢，我们要想，这些是这个动物被宰杀的动物虽然不是我的父母，也不是我，也不是我的儿女，但是呢，我们大家有一个共同点啊，有一个共同点，我们大家都是一样的啊。从什么角度我们都是一样的呢？比如说我不愿意面对任何的这个痛苦不论是大的痛苦，哪怕是很小很小的痛苦，我都不愿意接受，我都会拒绝拒绝。那么这些不管是鸡鸭鱼或者是其他的生命，都是一样的呀。他们当中没有一个是心甘情愿的去面对这些痛苦，接受这些痛苦，这都没有的没有的。从这个角度来讲不管是我的父母也好，我也好，我的儿女也好，或者是一个陌生人也好，或者是一个动物也好，这完全是一样的。
So at this stage, we move on to recognizing that the animal, say, undergoing suffering is not us, it's not our parents, and it's not our children. However, there is one common respect in which this animal is no different to ourselves, it's no different to our parents or children. And that is that this animal, just like ourselves, has not the slightest desire for any kind of suffering whatsoever.Whether it be a chicken or a fish or a duck, there is no being that would willingly accept or willingly seek this kind of suffering for themselves.
这是第二除了这个以外，还有一个共同点是什么呢？这是我们所有的人，所有的生命都是一样我们讲的生命跟这个生物学当中讲的生命，这个对生命的定义有点不一样。佛教讲的生命呢，就是有情感，有这个快乐痛苦的感受就是说有情感的 啊，动物、人才叫做生命啊，没有情感的植物就不叫这个生命啊。那么我们所有的生命都有一个共同点啊，共同点是什么呢？我们所有人都希望自己啊拥有幸福、快乐啊。我们不管是什么样的人，什么样的动物，什么样的生命，我们大家都非常非常的希望啊自己拥有幸福，自己拥有快乐。那我们所有的人，所有的动物当中啊，没有一个是不愿意或者是拒绝啊这些幸福和快乐的。
When we talk about other beings or all beings in the context of this meditation, our definition from a Buddhist point of view of a being is somewhat different to perhaps a biological definition. Here we're talking about sentient beings, beings with the capacity to experience the emotions of happiness and pain. In any case, there is another vital respect in which we are equal and the same, to other beings, and that is that in addition to having no desire for suffering at, or having no desire for suffering at all, we all have great desire to enjoy happiness. There is no being that would refuse happiness or refuse comfort.
因为我们每一个人都非常的希望自己拥有幸福啊。或者是我们稍微有点点幸福和快乐的时候呢，我们非常的害怕啊失去这个幸福和快乐啊。那么其他的生命也是一样的啊，如果这个时候有人来剥夺我的啊这个幸福，或者是来破坏啊摧毁我的这个幸福的话，那我是非常非常痛苦的啊。那么其他的生命也是一样的，都是一样的。
So just as desire happiness and have no desire to have happiness taken away from ourselves, so too do other beings. The other beings feel exactly this same way too. They feel a great sense of displeasure and unease when their own happiness is threatened or destroyed.
然后痛苦我们大家都不愿意接受啊，我们对空这个痛苦这两个字有啊很大的这个恐惧啊，我们都不愿意靠近它啊，甚至是一分钟一秒钟都不愿意跟它在一起啊。那么我是这样子，同样的所有人也是这样子，所有的生命也是这样子。那么这个时候呢，如果有人让我被迫的让我跟痛苦在一起啊，或者是让我去面对痛苦，让我去接受这个痛苦，我非常非常的不愿意，非常的痛苦啊，不管是肉体上、精神上，都有非常大的这个痛苦啊。那么，其他的这个人或者其他的动物也是这样子，这是完全是一样，都是平等的。
And in respect of pain and suffering, these are things that we have no desire to experience ourselves. We have no desire to coexist with pain and suffering for even the shortest amount of time. So if someone were to place us in a situation where we were forced to endure pain and suffering, then we would feel extremely, extremely bad. It would be a terrible experience. And it's not just ourselves. Every single other being feels exactly the same way.
请大家注意啊，我不是在讲一个道理啊，我就是在讲一个方法。
Everybody should understand here that what I am saying is I'm not talking about an idea. I'm really talking about a method.
这是一个现实、实实在在的存在，我们任何一个人的生命当中实实在在存在的感受。这个不是宗教，不是哲学，这就是我们生活当中发生的实实在在的东西。所以呢，我们必须要高度的重视这一点。
This is it's not an elaboration from a religious tradition. It's a fact of how things operate, of how beings feel. So this is something that we really need to regard seriously.
然后我们今天的这个终点啊，我们的侧终点啊，不是一个理论啊啊，不是一个这个道理，而是一个方法。大家以后我们去修慈悲心的时候呢，怎么样去思考这个训练的方式是什么？今天我们就在讲这个方式啊方法。
So our focus of today's teaching is not a theory, it's a practice. It's a practice that everyone needs to train in.
所以我们刚才讲的这些大家都不要把它当作一个理论，就是要当作一个我们以后要去做的一个方法。
So everybody, please regard the teaching today not as a theory, but as a practice that you need to apply in your lives.
道理我们每一个人都很懂很多很多很多，因为这个信息时代，信息爆炸的时代，很多时候我们比我今天讲的多十倍一百倍的这个信息，我们都每天都可以接受的，所以这个道理它是不解决问题的。
In terms of ideas and concepts, they're not things that we lack in this information age. However,Ideas and concepts alone are not able to resolve problems.
解决问题，能够解决问题的是，就是我们在生活当中点点滴滴的去做，去训练啊，这样子的话，那么我们可以啊，可以解决我们自己的问题，然后我们也可以帮助更多的人。
It's only by step by step.Engaging in concrete action and practice in the context of our lives that we will be able to solve problems and more effectively benefit others.
好，这个时候我们就发现啊，我们大家都是一样的不愿意面对痛苦，我们大家都一样的这个希望拥有幸福啊。既然大家都是这样子啊。既然大家都是这样子，那么为什么我为了我的幸福，为了我的快乐而可以破坏别人的快乐呢？我们接下来就要思考这个问题。
So it's at this point that we develop an understanding that all beings just like ourselves have no desire for suffering, and that all beings just like ourselves have every desire for happiness.So it's here now that we move on to contemplating that how it can be that in order to satisfy my own happiness, I'm willing to destroy the happiness of others.
让我们啊进一步的去思考，既然大家都不愿意面对啊这个啊痛苦这样子的话，那么为什么啊我的为了我的幸福可以？牺牲别人的这个幸福呢？为什么把我的幸福可以建立在别人的痛苦上呢？我为什么可以这样子？我为什么可以接受这样子的这个方法呢？我们要去思考这个问题。
If it is the case that every other being just like myself has no desire for suffering, then how is it that in order to achieve my own happiness, I'm willing to establish it on the suffering of others? This is the problem that we need to reflect on.
我们在现实生活当中，比如说我们在社会上，就是遇到了一点点的这个不公平的待遇的时候呢，然后我们很生气。然后就我们就会说这个不公平啊等等但是我们实际上我们就是经常我们自己给别人的是什么呢？就是一种不公平的待遇。我们就是为了我的幸福，为了我的幸福，就是理所当然的或者是合理合法的去让别人去牺牲他的让其他的生命牺牲他的幸福。
In our everyday lives, when we encounter even the smallest injustice or the smallest unfairness, we immediately feel very aggrieved and very angry. But in actual fact, we are often imposing such treatment on others and not considering things from their point of view.
比如说我们去吃海鲜吃鸡鸭鱼吃动物啊，这样子的时候呢，为了我们的口感啊，为了我们的口福，就是牺牲了一条生命啊，甚至是就是为了一顿这个饱饭啊，为了一顿餐，就是牺牲了几十个生命或者是上百条生命啊。但是我们根本就不在乎啊，我们在乎的是什么呢？我们在乎的是我自己的这个口感啊，我在乎怎么样吃就会更加的新鲜，我就想这个事情，不会去思考啊，应不应该为了我的口感去牺牲这么多的生命，这个公不公平？这个时候轮到我们自己的时候，我们不会去讲公平不公平。
When we have a meal of seafood or some other such creature, we don't reflect on the fact that we are sacrificing the life or numerous lives of other beings simply in order to make ourselves happy, to satisfy or gratify our own desire for delicious food.
啊，那么既然每一个生命都这么的这个希望啊，自己拥有幸福啊，每一个生命都这么啊，这个期待啊，这个幸福和这个快乐，这样子的话，那么为什么我的幸福就这么重要，他的幸福就不重要呢？为什么他的幸福是为了我的幸福而可以啊，可以牺牲，可以摧毁，可以这个破坏，而且破坏也是理所当然，合理合法。为什么这个想法是从哪里来的呢？我们要去思考这个问题。我为什么有一个这样子的思，我为什么有一个这么愚昧的想法呢？这个想法是从哪里来的呢？我为什么我作为一个人啊，人我们大家都会说我们是高级动物，那么我作为一个高级动物，为什么有一个这么愚蠢的这个想法呢？它的根源是什么？要去想这个问题。
Given that other beings just like ourselves have no desire for suffering and every desire for happiness, how can it be that for my own suffering I am willing to sacrifice or destroy or annihilate the suffering of another? How is it that I am willing, I find it a straightforward matter, I treat it as inevitable that my happiness can be achieved at the expense of another's. Given that we are supposedly intelligent creatures, how can it be that in fact we have such a benighted and foolish belief?
我们的餐桌上的很多的这个海鲜动物，我们吃之前的一秒钟的时候呢，他们还在动，还在跳啊，但是我们这个时候呢，根本没有去想啊，没有去想他们的痛苦，这是为什么呢？这个时候为什么我的心就是这么硬呢？就像一块石头，就像一块钢铁一样的，为什么我这个时候就根本就不懂得考虑他们的感受呢？为什么我这个时候只懂得考虑我自己的口感呢？这个也是为什么呢？为什么一个人可以变成这样子呢？也要去思考这个问题。
We need to reflect on why it is that, or how it can be the case when a live animal is still moving on the dinner table in front of us, that it doesn't move us or have any impact on us. Our hearts so hardened.Don't consider the suffering or the happiness of this creature at all. This is something that we need to contemplate and reflect on repeatedly.
好，这样子我们啊，就是深入的去思考，用心的去思考啊，专注的去思考这样子的时候呢，然后在这个思维的过程当中，我们第一个结论是什么呢？我就是本我自己啊，是一个非常野蛮的人啊，野蛮的人。过去的这个对生命的这种，这个 待遇对待的这个方法上面，这是有非常非常大的这个错误啊，非常大的错误。现在我们知道了，我过去去伤害啊其他的众生啊，其他的生命啊，这是不对的，没有道理的啊。这是第一个结论。
So by repeatedly reflecting on this, we arrive at a conclusion. And the first conclusion that we arrive at is in relation to our own barbaric nature, that up until this point we have been very barbaric and that we have not considered the happiness of others in the way that we have treated them. Given this, we have committed all kinds of mistakes in the way that we have conducted ourselves vis-à-vis other beings.
然后更重要的是什么呢？在这个当中，就是发现我自己的过去的太多太多的错误的做法啊，我忽略了别人的这个啊别人的感受啊。那么这样子以后呢，我们就是第一个。就效果比较好的时候呢，我们可以在这个修禅定的这个过程当中下决心啊，下决心以后我不再去啊故意的去杀害或者是伤害啊任何一个其他的生命啊，我再也不去做这个对别人啊不理的啊这些事情。当然有些时候我们啊无意当中啊，或者是实在是没有办法的情况下，会啊说出伤害别人的话，会做出一些伤害其他人的这个事情。但是呢，啊，这是除了这样子的特殊的情况以外，啊，我不像以前这样子把别人的幸福不当一回事，把别人的痛苦也不当一回事。啊，我从今以后再也不去。伤害别人啊，会有一个这样子的这个啊决心啊。那么这个就是我们在这个慈悲心的这个禅修的过程当中的一个最主要的一个结果。
And the second conclusion that we arrive at is in relation to the way that we have neglected the feelings of other beings in the past. So it's possible then in this meditation.To generate the strong aspiration that from this day forth we will no longer engage in conduct that harms other beings. We will no longer do things that are disadvantageous to other beings. And even though, of course, it is inevitable that we will in our everyday lives say things that harm others, do things that harm others, this aspiration in itself is very important.And it's one of the most significant results of training in compassion.
然后第二个啊，第二个结论是什么呢？就是因为大家都是平等，大家都希望拥有幸福啊。然后就像我们获得幸福的时候，快乐的时候，我们啊就这么高兴啊，就这么开心。那么其他的生命也都是一样的啊，既然大家都是一样的话，那么我从今以后呢，要尽量的啊，要去这个让大家啊，让大家幸福啊，让大家快乐，就像我为自己制造幸福和快乐一样啊，我从今以后呢，也要去给别人啊制造幸福和快乐，会有这样子的这个啊。这个决心啊，这个就叫做真正的慈悲心啊，这叫做悲心，大悲心。
And in tandem with this aspiration, we will generate another aspiration, and that is to work for others' happiness and well-being. So just as we habitually work for our own happiness and well-being, from this point onwards, realizing that other beings similarly desire happiness like ourselves, we will seek to work for their happiness. And this aspiration is, in fact, the generation of great compassion.
这个 慈悲心呢它如果我们有信仰那这个就叫做修心就是心善如果没有信仰比如说他不认为有善恶因果他不相信但是他不相信但是他做的就是好事他做的好事好事他一定会有好报的好事有好报这个就是一种自然的规律这个根本就跟他的这个相信不相信没有太大的没有太大的关系比如说我们种一朵花那么我相信它会长起来或者是我不相信它会长起来这个没有关系只要有这个心动它就会有开花结果的。
If we generate compassion in this way with religious faith, then this is a positive or meritorious kind of conduct. However, if we engage in this practice and generate this aspiration without such a religious conviction, then it similarly will have positive results. It's not necessary to believe necessarily in good, evil, karmic action and consequence, because these are natural laws that operate irrespective of belief. It's like a flower. Regardless of whether I believe that planting a seed will yield a flower or not, it inevitably will. And so it is with engaging in positive conduct.
所以无神论者唯物论者如果修这样子的这个慈悲心的话他在现实当中可以获得我们刚才讲的两个结果除了这个以外他虽然是不相信善恶因果但是呢他现在目前他做的是善所以未来他还是有好报的
So it's for this reason that agnostic or atheist people who cultivate compassion in this way are able to generate the benefits of the practice
在禅定在大坐的这个过程当中我们非常认真的去这个思考这些问题这个都是过程那么这个过程的结果呢就是我们刚才讲的两个一个就是因为我自己的这个我不愿意面对痛苦那么别人也不愿意所以我不应该去让别人接受痛苦我从今以后不再去做这样子的事情这是一个人生当中的一个非常大的转变。
And the two benefits that are generated through this practice, irrespective of who it is who engages in the practice, are primarily the first conviction or resolution we spoke of, and that is based on the common lack of desire for any being to encounter suffering.The resolution not to engage in behavior that causes harm to others. And this is, in the context of a person's life, a great point of transformation.
然后呢，就是因为我自己希望拥有幸福非常非常的希望拥有大大小小任何一个幸福我都希望拥有同样的任何一个人任何一个动物也是这样子既然大家都是这样子的话那么我从今以后我也尽量的为别人着想我们当然不敢说我从此以后一切都为别人服务一切都为众生服务这样子的话我们现在还不敢说我们就是刚刚开始这个训练但是呢我们可以说我尽量的从今以后我尽量的还是要考虑一下别人的这个感受我还是尽量的为别人的这个幸福为别人的快乐我也要去付出我要适当的去付出会有这样子的决心在禅修当中会有一个非常强烈的这样子的两种决心这个是我们需要的结果。
And the second resolution that we generate from compassion meditation is the desire from this point onwards to work for the benefit of others and to take into account their feelings, to work towards their happiness. Of course, at the very beginning, it's not possible for us to say that everything we do from this point on will be for the benefit of others. However, the aspiration is to do our best as far as possible to work for the happiness and well-being of others. And it's these two aspirations, not harming others and to work for their happiness, that it's possible to generate with intensity and conviction in our meditation session.
然后我们大坐的时候有一个这样子的强烈的这个感受和决心，以后呢，我们在现实生活当中就会发生很多很多的转变啊。比如说过去是一个非常非常自私的人啊，为了自己的利益什么都敢做的人啊，这种人从此以后也就会啊，会发生一个很大的变化，在工作上，在生活当中，在家庭啊，在这个亲戚朋友之间等等啊，就发生一个很大的转变。
And generating these intense aspirations in our meditation practice will bring great impact into our everyday lives. Whereas we might once have been an extremely selfish person who was willing to do anything for our own benefit.We will no longer be this way. And so the changes that we experience will constitute a great transformation.
那么我们打坐的时候啊，比如说一次两次啊，有很强烈的这样子的感受，但是这种一两次的这种感受对生活的改变啊不是很大的，所以呢我们还是要坚持打坐，坚持打坐啊。那么这种打坐的过程当中的我们这种感受啊，这种比较强烈的感受稍微比较多啊，这样子以后呢，他们一定会一定会在我们的生活当中起到很大的作用。
Doing this meditation once or twice and generating a fervent or intense quality of aspiration is in itself not enough. We need to engage in this meditation repeatedly in order for it to translate into changes in our everyday life. So it's when we are able to generate intense and fervent aspiration in the context of our practice,quite a lot or very frequently, that it will have the capacity to really bring great changes into our everyday existences.
然后这个方法呢，在藏传佛教里面这个就是这种方法有三种不同的修法，一个叫做姿态平等姿态平等就是我们刚刚讲的，我们大家都是一样，大家都既然一样，我不应该为了我的心福让别人去受苦不应该的，我们大家都平等，这叫做姿态平等。然后就是自他相还，自他相还就是换位的思考，比如说我去平时我去比如说我们去吃海鲜等等这个时候就是我们做这样子的，比如伤害别人其他生命的这些事情的时候我们不太在乎但是现在相反，如果别人来吃我，或者是别人来欺负我侮辱我这样子的话，那会我的感受是什么样子呢？我的感受是什么样子，他的感受也是这样子，这叫做自他相还这是第二。第三就是自清他种自清他种就是忘掉自己，一切都是为别人着想这个当然是最高的境界了，我们先暂时做不到，我们先做自他平等，自他相欢，这已经很不错了。
In respect of compassion practice in the Tibetan tradition, there are three levels or three approaches.And the first is equality of self and other, which is what we worked on today in today's compassion practice. The second is exchanging self for other. And we worked on that too when we imagined what it would be like if it were ourselves in the position of the animal undergoing suffering. And then the third level, or the third approach, is where we cherish others more than ourselves. This is a relatively high level of practice and probably one that we're not yet ready to work on.
因为打坐的这个时候的感受会决定我们的这个生活的方式啊，工作的方式啊，工作我们的很多的工作也跟这个禅修是非常有关系的，因为我们这个慈悲心修得好的话，除了自己的生活以外，工作上也有相当大的帮助。
Our experience in meditation has great impact on our everyday lives, whether it be our working lives or normal everyday activities.
就像在美国啊，医疗系统和这个教育系统当中，现在就是准备普遍的去用这个方法，用这个慈悲心的方法。他们已经在做这个，已经做了很多研究，现在也正在做研究。做研究参与的人当中有几万、两万、三万这样子的这个学生去参与，然后大作把人分两部分啊，一个人去，一部分的人去修慈悲心，另外一个人一部分的人不修慈悲心，等等这样子的这个实验啊。结果是什么呢？这个慈悲心对他们的工作、对他们的心情、对他们的这个生活有非常非常大的影响。
And it's for this reason, the positive impact that meditation experience can have on our everyday life, that in America, the medical system and education systems are making preparations to introduce compassion meditation on a widespread level.Much research has been undertaken into the benefits of compassion meditation involving up to 10 or 20,000 participants. And it's because of the benefits that compassion meditation practice has in respect of study life, work life, everyday life, that it is going to be implemented on a widespread institutional level.
比如说他举一个例子，他们的一个非常简单的实验，比如说把人分成两个部分啊，就是一周当中就修这个慈悲心啊，一部分人呢就修一个星期，每天就只有几分钟的十几分钟的时间，不多啊，十几分钟的时间，然后一个星期以后呢这两批人就是坐在一间屋子里面，但是他们根本就不知道要干什么，他们根本不知道要做什么实验啊，他们根本不知道的情况下啊，两种人就是坐在这个一个房间里面，然后呢，实验的人就是通过这个探头看啊，在另外一个房间看，然后就是一个老弱病残啊，从外面进来，然后就进来了以后呢，看这些人的反应啊，然后。一周修了慈悲心的这些人立即就起来给他让位子，帮助他等等然后没有修慈悲心的这些人当中就这么做的人就是很少修这个慈悲心的人当中大部分人都是这样的，这是一个非常非常明显的一个这个区别啊，这是端端的一周而且每天不是八个小时、十个小时，每天就是几十分钟的修慈悲心这就是有这么大的生活当中会有这么大的改变，所以他们现在就是准备就在医疗系统当中用这个修法。
So one very simple experiment that was undertaken into the benefits of compassion practice involved separating a group of participants into two groups. One group who practiced compassion meditation for only perhaps 15 minutes each day for a week. The second group had no instruction in compassion meditation practice. They had no particular instructions. After a week, when an old and incapacitated person walked into the room where the people who had been practicing compassion were, they all stood up and offered their seats to the person. This didn't happen in the other room. So this is just a very simple or a very small experiment, and one where the participants were only doing a very small amount of compassion meditation. However, given the very clear results, the clear benefits, it's for this reason that the American medical system is preparing to implement compassion meditation practice on a widespread level.
主要的研究就是维吉尼亚大学在做这个课题。
The key institution behind much of the research is the University of Virginia.
还有一个就是医生啊，医生让他们去打坐修慈悲心，然后去治疗啊，效果非常的好。为什么效果好呢？因为病人在医生的眼神当中就看出了医生对病人的这个真心的关心啊，真正的这个关怀慈悲心啊，病人他就看到了他的医生真正在关心他啊，然后呢病人在精神上啊就得到了一个很大的安慰啊，然后因为这个精神上的安慰就是影响到他的这个肉体啊，病情啊就是不恶化，很快的就会治好，有这样子一个非常明显的这个效果。这些都是不是某一个学佛的人或者某一个修行人说的话，这些都是有科学的这个证据啊，是一个实实在在的研究实验的结果啊。佛教2500多年前一直都在讲这个，到今天也在讲啊。但是不一样的是什么呢？今天就是因为科学家他参与这件事情，那因为科学把这些东西都变成数据然后告诉大家，佛教把这些东西没有翻译成数据，但是呢每一个人都有自己的修行的体会，他们知道，他们心里非常的清楚啊。所以我们这个慈悲心呢不仅仅是一个不仅仅是一种说法，不仅仅是一种传说，这是一个实实在在的有用的一种训练，所以希望大家高度重视这个修法。
The benefits of compassion meditation practice have also been observed in respect of doctors who, through practicing compassion training, have positive results on their patients, who feel that their doctors are more sincerely concerned for them and are more sincerely invested in their recovery. And the results of this have been observed to be a less deterioration in the patient's health situation and even more hastened recovery. So the benefits of compassion practice are something that are only now starting to be researched and quantified and put into the form of statistics by science. But in actual fact, the benefits of compassion have been something that the Buddhist tradition has been emphasizing for 2,500 years. Even though they weren't represented in forms of statistics then, each meditator had their own concrete experience of the benefits of compassion. So given that compassion we can see is something that has great benefits, I hope it's something that everyone practices diligently.
在美国50%的护士和医生都辞职，50%。为什么呢？因为医生护士他们经常看到接触到太多太多的被各种各样的这个疾病折磨的这些病人，然后就是就看到很多临终的人也看到很多，亲眼看到很多人死亡然后呢就也亲眼看到了很多很多家属的痛苦，这样子以后呢这个内心的压力特别的大，承受不了这是一个原因。然后呢第一个反应，第二个反应呢时间长了以后就慢慢的就麻木了他们这个就叫做职业疲劳职业疲劳以后呢就是因为疲劳了就看太多了，麻木了以后呢 最后把病人不当一回事啊，把病人当作东西来看啊，不把他当作一个人来看啊，这样子。这个时候呢，在他们的这个工作当中，就是有很多的失误啊，有太多太多的错误的啊这个治疗。然后呢，在医生啊，病人在这个医院当中啊，住院以后，就是得了很多很多新的啊病啊。那这些病是来自于什么？就是因为医生的错误的治疗、护士的错误的治疗等等。然后这个后果是非常严重啊，所以很多医生、很多这个护士最终因为这个原因去自杀啊，有这样子的问题。他们为了解决啊这个医疗系统的一个严重的问题，所以把这个佛教的啊藏传佛教的这个慈悲自他相还的啊这个方法就带到医疗系统当中去用，效果非常的好。
In America, 50% of doctors and nurses resign from their professions. And one of the main reasons for this is the amount of suffering that they routinely have to confront in their working lives. The suffering of extremely sick people, terminally sick people, people at the point of death. And it's often due to the pressure, the stress that is generated, that people aren't able to cope. And in many situations, in order to actually to cope with this situation, people become desensitized. They develop what's referred to as occupational fatigue. But the one of the negative consequences of this occupational fatigue is that health professionals start to treat and regard the patients as objects, not as human beings. And given this to be the case, they make a lot of mistakes in their treatment, and often cause the situation or the condition of sufferers to get worse. And through errors in their treatment, sufferers, patients can contract and develop new illnesses. And given this terrible situation, there are many healthcare professionals who commit suicide themselves. So it's in order to address or remedy this overall situation that the American medical system is supportive of introducing compassion meditation.
然后他们现在在学校里面，就在教育系统当中，老师去修这个慈悲心，然后他们懂得真心的去关心小孩然后教得特别的好然后呢，他们现在也在编一个这个教材，就是用针对这个小学、中学的小朋友打坐然后对小朋友的这个各方面也有很大的帮助。这个慈悲心，他们把这个慈悲心就是用到学校里面、医疗系统当中还有很多企业当中也在用。就像谷歌公司，他们就是为了员工解决心灵的问题，就是用这个慈悲心和另外一个我们昨天讲的这个禅修的方法去打坐他们的方法是什么？比如说员工他们的某一个员工，如果他想打坐的话，比如说他给他提供这个打坐的这个场地禅房，在这个禅房当中打坐打一个小时的话，那么一个小时给他钱，这个钱不是直接给他，要捐给一个某一个慈善机构这样子以后呢，这个员工到他们的禅堂里面打坐的时候，第一个可以调节自己的这个心态，第二个他可以挣钱捐给慈善机构就是因为他们呢，就是在各行各业当中都在用这些佛教的这些方法，都是佛教的方法，都是佛教的这个禅修的方法，非常有用。人家现在都已经开始做了所以我们不管信佛的不信佛的应该去尝试一下这个感受，这样子呢，这个真的是一个人生当中的一个高境界的一种享受。
In the educational system too, there are now teachers who are practicing compassion meditation and observing its benefits in the classroom in terms of the benefits it brings in terms of their relationships towards their students. There are also efforts to develop a series of instructional textbooks in compassionate meditation for the students themselves. Compassion meditation is also being used or has been introduced in major enterprises such as Google. In Google, there is now a program in place where employees, if they're interested in meditating, Google will provide them with the facilities to do so. And for every meditator, they will donate a certain amount of money to a charity. So in addition to the meditator being able to meditate and get the benefits associated with that, they are also benefiting others through the money being donated. So compassion meditation is something that is being, and the compassion meditation from the Buddhist tradition is something that is being implemented in many arenas, and it is something that all people, regardless of whether they have a religious faith or not, can gain benefits from practicing. It's really a great enjoyment, or it's a great luxury in life to have the opportunity to practice it, and it's something that everybody would do well to practice for themselves.
我们修了这个慈悲心以后呢，然后我们可以诚心实意的去帮助别人啊，诚心实意的去这个去利益，用佛教的话来讲，就是利益众生啊。从此以后，我们懂得这个付出，懂得奉献啊。那么从此以后，我们也可以过上一个真正的幸福的人生啊。从此以后，我们的生命也是真正的有意义的啊。那么这个我们说，这个是佛法。就是佛法啊！如果我们说这个不是佛法啊，也可以说这个不是佛法，这就是一个我们的普世价值啊，大家都可以做的啊，这是一个这样有信仰没有信仰人，大家都可以用啊，这是一个大家可以共享的，希望大家能够用得上啊，希望大家高度重视，有一个实际的心动。我们大家都会说我们很忙啊，我们没有时间啊，时间我们还是有的，我们至少每天可以每天都有24个小时，这个当中呢，我们可以安排半个小时到一个小时，这个是完全没有问题的啊，只要我们愿意的话，这一点时间是能够挤得出来的啊，这个很重要啊。那么我们今天的讲座呢就讲到这里，非常感谢。
Cultivating meditation, cultivating compassion will enable us to properly and sincerely go about benefiting others. And benefiting others will bring us great meaning in our lives. Or benefiting other beings. If we don't necessarily have faith in the Buddhist tradition, still the benefits of developing compassion we will be able to enjoy regardless. Even though we may feel that we don't have much time, in fact it's certainly possible for us to reserve half an hour a day to devote to compassion practice. So it's important that we actually do engage in practice and apply ourselves to the cultivation of compassion. And this brings to an end this afternoon's teaching.